Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. from Northern California, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 19, the fourth paragraph, starting with, of necessity, there will have to be discussion, and ending on page 20 with how we may help meet their needs. Today's readers are, we have Lily M. reading the 12 steps, Malky W., 12 traditions, Mo H. reading the paragraph in the Big Book, Lorraine N., page 164, and the backup reader is Eileen M. The newcomer greeter is Reggie O., and the announcement is Leslie W. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 3rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 19,249. That's 19249. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 19,251. That's 19251. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Excuse me. I now ask Lily M. to read the 12 steps.
Yes, good morning. This is Lily M. from Idaho, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service, and thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Lily. Next up, we have Malky W. reading the 12 traditions.
Yes, hi, this is Malky W., recovered compulsive overeater from New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Malky W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're reading what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted by using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 19 on the last paragraph, paragraph 4, of necessity, reading one paragraph, finishing on page 20, and we may help meet their needs. I now ask Mo H. to begin reading.
Yes, thank you very much, Donna, for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict from Northern California. Of necessity, there will have to be discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. We are aware that these matters are, from their very nature, controversial. Nothing would please us so much as to write a book which would contain no basis for contention or argument. We shall do our utmost to achieve that ideal. Most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and a respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful to others. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our consistent thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. Again, Smo H. here from Northern California, and grateful to be back giving service. So what I see here is Bill and Bob and all those who put into this Big Book, they were trying to write a book that there was no basis for contention or argument, as the, you know, medical, psychiatric, social, and religious, we could definitely get into some debate about that. And so they really worked hard, I guess, to make this book as easy and simple and straightforward without it becoming controversial. But the part I want to zero in on is toward the end there, where it talks about, you know, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. And that's what makes the difference of this program from any other program I ever did, was thinking of others before I think of myself. And, that has, these last few years since my husband passed, it's been very difficult for me to think of others and just be in myself. And slowly but surely, God has been guiding me back to be of service and to help others. And when I first learned how to do a 10th step about 5 or 6 years ago, probably longer than that now, I remember my sponsor saying, you know, your 10th step isn't done until you make a call to another person. You do your 12th step to another person and you don't talk about your problem, about what is irritating you or bothering you, that you ask them how their program is and how they are doing. And I know I've been a little shy with the phone calls, but I'm working on coming back and being of service more and giving, you know, listening to others and being of service. And so I think that this is what Bill and Bob really wanted this program to be about, is helping others. The only way I can recover, the only way I can keep what I have is to give it away. And that just seems so odd in our culture today, but it is so true. So being of service is just high on my list. And I want to hear what all of you have to say. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. All right. So we'll open up for shares. And remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday or before, or you haven't ever shared, please give me your first name, last initial, and location one at a time, please.
Kara L., California.
Wendy. Donna B.
Lori J.
So I have Kara L., Wendy, I didn't get your last initial, Donna B., Lori J.
Eileen.
Gotcha, Eileen, last initial. Okay, so I have Kara L., Wendy, Donna B., Lori J., and Eileen. So we'll start with Kara L., please, and followed by Wendy J. Everyone else, please mute yourselves.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California, Southern California. It's good to be with you, my fellows, this morning. Thank you for everybody doing service on the meeting. Thank you, Mo, for your incredible share. And, you know, as I was listening to the share and I was listening to the reading, the thing that really jumped out at me was the words real tolerance. And I, you know, kind of as I was listening, you know, I was letting it settle over me. And I said, what is real tolerance? And I know for myself, it's really hard for me to have real tolerance because I always want to be right. I don't want to get in trouble. So I always want to be right because I don't want anybody to be mad at me. And I'm so busy juggling all these balls that I've in self that I don't step out and really have tolerance for others because I'm so busy backpedaling for myself. And when I worked the steps, you know, these are where the inventories really helped me because they helped me see where I wasn't having tolerance and where I was manipulating and doing all these things just to create what I thought was a peaceful space. And, today I know that in recovery that that's not my job. My job is to find my higher power. My job is to ask my higher power's will and to be, you know, find love, justice, kindness, and compassion. And when those are my goals, to see where, you know, I've missed the goal and try to do my best to come back up to it. And where I have tolerance, love, justice, and kindness as my goal, instead of trying to rearrange and manipulate everything, I find peace and I find tolerance for others. And that's something I strive for. And I know that my higher power
can help provide that. So my job is to keep working these steps, keep doing the work, keep working with others, keep staying in this book. And that will be a reward, will be tolerance. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. Next up, we have Wendy. Please share your first initial of your last name and your location. And Wendy will be followed by Donna B.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And that same line, you know, jumped out to me. Most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions or attitudes are attitudes which make us more useful to others. So, you know, I too live most of my life, you know, pointing out other people's shortcomings and arguing with their viewpoints, you know, with no tolerance or respect for their opinions or attitudes, you know, that were different than mine. You know, I was just so black and white in my thinking. You know, there was only one right way to think, you know, and if you disagreed with me, you were labeled wrong or bad in my eyes. And, you know, I was just very self-righteous, you know, and looking back at my attitudes, you know, I identify myself as being, you know, like a Pharisee, you know, looking down on those around me. And I had a talk with my daughter recently about the way I was, you know, when I raised her and how God has transformed me, you know, through program work, you know, to be able to have tolerance for her weaknesses and have compassion and understanding for her struggles, to be able to listen without criticism or judgment. And, you know, we worked through conversations where our viewpoints differed, you know, and I wanted to shut her down, you know, and end the conversation. And, but we just addressed those things, you know, as they came up by being honest about our reactions, you know, and I didn't shut down, you know, we kept the communication going forward, you know, and, you know, we're both, you know, mutually invested in navigating growth and understanding in our relationship, you know, and I've become a safe place for her where she feels loved and heard and understood by me. And that is just such a gift, you know, God and program have given me, you know, the opportunity to repair the damage I did in her youth. And I love this paragraph and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next up, we have Donna B. in Colorado.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm thinking about, you know, being of maximum service to God and to my fellows, and how the word selfish has such a negative connotation in the outside world. I think within the rooms, certainly as I've worked through the steps, the word selfish has taken on sort of a new meaning for me. It's wanting people to follow my scripts. It's being concerned with what is of concern to me while dismissing what may be of concern to others. But one word that really resonates for me that branches from the word selfish is self-absorption, where I am just absorbed with me and my problems and my worries and my concerns. And recently, one of the things that has really taken my mind hostage is the process of aging. I will be 47 in October, and I know that there are many people on the line who are older than me and that are younger than me. But my experience of the decline in my mental sharpness and my physical fitness feels very real to me. And the fear that I have about what the future holds is a very real fear for me as well. And recently, Through prayer and meditation and just taking a lot of inventory on this aging process, I've been praying that my higher power should have me worship God, you know, to worship this power that's greater than myself, than to worship youth and physical health and well-being and beauty and thinness and all of these things that I'm in fear of losing. And to tie it to this paragraph specifically, when I get out of myself, when I have the opportunity to work with others and to listen to the challenges that they have in their lives, I remember that I am of purpose. I am relevant. There's something that I can give that goes beyond the limitations associated with aging and the decline of some skills, while God is helping me to grow in other skills that can allow me to be of service to others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Next up, we have Lori J., followed by Eileen.
Thank you. This is Lori J., compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Like others, the sentence that refers to real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints, that really resonated for me. I'm approaching about a year in program and having worked the steps. I can't think of any other place in my life where I see such community and support by people that on the facade of it all might have really little in common, right? And lots of different viewpoints, lots of different backgrounds, and yet because we share this experience of working the steps, because we share the disease of compulsive overeating, it helps overcome or bridge the gap between all these differences. As it says on the second page, more useful to others. And I think that really goes along with sharing the program in step 12. Rather than being someone, a medical professional maybe, that hasn't had that specific condition and trying to help someone with a condition, we've been there, we are there, we've recovered, and we have the solution that can help others for sure. I'm reminded of everyone that's guided me to this point, but also I see this sentence as sort of a call to action and a reminder that even though I may have a sponsee, there's always more that can be done, and really to reflect on, am I doing all that I can to help share the message to help others? And that certainly helps me in my continued growth in the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Was that Lori J. from Tennessee? Next up, we have Eileen. And then we'll open up for
good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And I'm also resonating with that last couple of, or that last line, you know, where it says, you know, we sense that respect for opinions and attitudes of other people make us more useful to others. What came up for me was, you know, we must practice these principles in all of our affairs. And, you know, that's why I have the wonderful tool of inventory. You know, step 10 is because in step 10, you know, I get to identify the obstacles that keep me from being useful to other people. And I was thinking, you know, in a recent inventory that I was doing with my step guide, you know, she pointed out, hey, you know, you might want to demonstrate humility, you know, in some of these human interactions, you know, because, you know, I've been praying a lot for a particular character defect, which is judging other people, you know, to be removed, because, you know, I've learned that, you know, when I'm accepting other people the way they are with withholding judgment, you know, I am more useful to them. You know, I certainly cannot be useful to someone if I'm trying to fix them, you know, thinking that, okay, well, I'm right and they need to do it differently. You know, they're not doing it right. And, you know, that comes up in my inventory. And, you know, yeah, that's just what I'm getting. And I need a higher power's help in all my relationships. I need guidance from my higher power, you know, of how can I be helpful to them. You know, in the morning it's asking, help me to be kind and tolerant to other people, you know. So thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. So we're on page 19, the last paragraph. Of necessity, there will have to be discussion. Finishing on page 20, how we may help meet their needs. That's one paragraph, and I'm open for additional shares.
Wendy M.
Linda W.
Linda W.
Becca R.
WP. Barbara B.
Becca R.
Wendy
L.
Barbara B.
Leslie. And then I started losing. So I have Wendy M., Linda W., Becca R., Debbie P., and a Leslie. Crystal
Barbara
S.
B.
And I have Crystal and Barbara P., and we'll stop there. So if everyone can mute except for Wendy M., and if you could share your first name, your last name's first initial, and where you're calling from. Thank you. Go ahead, Wendy M.
Okay, great. Yeah, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your service. Anytime I see the word tolerance, I'm like, oh, yeah, that. So I grew up in a house where if you were different, you were absolutely wrong, vilified. And, you know, it's that line in We Agnostics, we were intolerant. We thought we were tolerant, but we were intolerant. And I know when I'm around somebody who has a different thought than I have, not only are they wrong, but they need to be me. You know, and that is sort of the reptile brain that I came into this program with. You know, my life is pretty tiny because everyone has to be Wendy. And what I love about this program is that it tells me to get out of the center of attention, the center of obsession, self-obsessed, as somebody said, and that I get to get out of the center and I get to go out to the outside, and everybody gets to be exactly who they are. And more importantly than that, it has no bearing on this program, right? Because all we're doing here is holding hands with a solution. And the solution has nothing to do with religion or politics or anything. It just has to do with the solution. And somebody said, when I heard them talk about this chapter, is that there's two things going on. There is a solution, which is a miracle. Oh my God, there's a solution to a problem I've had my whole life. There is a solution. And then it says there is a solution, which is, that's all we care about. We only care about the instructions in this book and getting to a higher power. So that's, I loved hearing that. So if I'm in the solution, I'm not in the center of the circle thinking about Wendy and thinking about being intolerant and thinking about how my whatever's is better than yours. And then the other thing here, it says here, the constant thought of others. You know, when I'm in a crappy day, I'm like, no, I don't think I can do that. I can't call people and see how they're doing or see how I can be helpful. No, that's not going to happen. I feel cruddy, so I'm in myself again. And then when somebody says, pick up the phone and say, how are you? Can I be helpful? I have like an all chemical reaction. Like my body changes completely. Like if I call one of you today and I say, no matter what's happening with me, hey, how can I be helpful? Just those magical words change me. That's the point. And they probably help you. They probably help you. And it's so simple to change, to make that change from sort of the darkness of me and Wendy to the lightness of, can I be helpful to you today? How can I be helpful? What can I do? And I have no idea how I'm going to be
time.
Helpful. But I must say those words to have that magical moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. Next up, we have Linda W. followed by Becca R. And you'll need to press star one to unmute.
This is Linda W. from Las Vegas,
gotcha.
Nevada. This is my first time really sharing, and it's kind of scary for me. I've been in a program for 5 or 6 years and have been sitting on the sidelines for all this time rather than getting into the middle and becoming part of and thinking I'm going to be okay. I've been selfish. I've been, no wonder it's been hard for me to be abstinent. I'm on and off, and I needed the help. But some of these shares today really resonated with me. Service. I want to get in the middle of service. That's why I'm sharing today, because I feel it is service. And I want to thank everyone who has shared with me. I want to thank the leaders and everyone that is part of this program. This program is a great program. All I have to do is get in the middle and be of service so I can help others. Someone mentioned about step 10, and now I realize when I do step 10, I really got to call another person rather than keeping things to myself. I've kept things to myself. I've been dishonest. And anyhow, I really want to thank you for letting me share. It's been a long, long time, and if I can get any calls, I'd appreciate it. That's Linda W. from Las Vegas.
Thank you, Linda W., for sharing. Next up, we have Becca R., followed by Debbie P.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Bowling Green, Kentucky. And I was just telling my sponsor the other day that I really, I'm newly recovered, and I was just telling her that it's been hard being out of the quote-unquote hospitalization period where I was focusing on me and my step work and doing my work. And and my how the tables have turned. You know, constantly reminded that my service is to turn my face towards my fellows, and that's where I see my higher power. But I don't want to, you know. I think the big book says also I'm selfish and self-centered. And, you know, of course I liked being in the step work because it was all about me. My world can get really small. I have little kids, and I don't get a lot of interaction with other people. And I'm so grateful for the tool of the telephone. I'm so grateful for the meetings online, the Zoom meetings, this meeting. And I'm grateful for the reminder this morning that it is that constant thinking of others that removes me from the selfishness that keeps me disconnected from my higher power. And it's in those conversations with my fellows, in the conversations in time with God, it's in the time of being of service to my family that I again feel connected. So just grateful to be here with you guys. That's all I pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. Next up is Debbie P., followed by Leslie.
Good morning. This is Debbie P., and I'm calling from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. The same sentence catches my attention. Most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints. And that's what caught my attention this morning also, because I've had so many opinions and attitudes and intolerance of others, and specifically of others in religion. And what this program has helped me to see is that we all grow at different times in different areas, and we all learn at different times in different areas. And so as long as I'm judging others, it keeps the focus off of me. And I've actually learned to be more tolerant of where other people are in their growth, and where and allowing me to just be tolerant of where they are. I have been a little bit more focused on my food lately, and it through hearing people this morning, it's I've been reminded, because I forget, even recovered, I forget, but I've been reminded that
I need to reach out to others more. I have always struggled with that. I might do, make one call or somebody calls me and I think, oh, that's great. Well, that's not enough. And I also know that once I do make my outreach calls, number one, I feel accomplished that I've done that. And when I talk to other people and ask, how are you doing? How's your program going? Are you struggling anywhere that you need some help with? I usually hang up and I feel so much better about myself. I feel like I am following the will of my higher power, that I did something that was not in my plan, that I totally took myself out of it and followed my higher power's will. And I so forget about that. Why do I always, anything that works, that makes me feel good, I always stop doing it. I don't know why that is, but that seems to be my pattern. But anyway, I really have appreciated everybody's shares today and this paragraph. And I thank everybody for their service of being here today. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Debbie P. in Indiana. Next up is Leslie, followed by Crystal. And please share your first initial of your last name, Leslie, and where you're calling from.
Yep. Hey, this is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Thanks for your service this morning, Donna. And I wanted to mention this, the fact that this is not a coincidence, that I'm reading this morning and I'm here on the line with all of you. And this sentence, which says that my very life, and if I can insert myself into this sentence for just a moment, that my very life depends on my constant need, my constant thought of others and how I can help meet their needs. And a lot of times that the way that looks in action isn't the way I think it should look or the way I want it to look. And, my selfish, self-centered nature wants that pat on the back. My ego wants that validation, glory or accolade, if you will. because I want to feel good. I want to feel good about myself. I want to know that I'm really making a difference. Many times, however, during the course of my day and in my life, it's the very mundane things of life. That's how I meet the needs of others. It's washing and folding my laundry for my husband and my kids. It's cleaning up the kitchen. It's, seeing something at the grocery store that I think they might like and picking that up for them and bringing them home. Or staying up with a sick child at night and consoling that child and taking care of that child. These are picking up my husband's dry cleaning. I mean, I know that these things may sound really trivial in nature, but for me, that's kind of the kind of stuff that I didn't want to do before. It's easy for me to be of service to my fellows. It's a lot harder for me to be of service to every single person that I come in contact with on a daily basis, that I am right in front of every single day, and that's my husband and my kids. And usually that's the last place I want to give it. But that is the most important place. That is the most important place for me to give it, for me. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Next up is Crystal, followed by Barbara P.
Hi, good morning. My name is Crystal S. from Northern California, compulsive restrictor. Boy, this, there are no coincidences. I am opening my mouth only for the taking the suggestion of opening my mouth again and sharing. And I'm in a weird place in recovery, and this is so perfect. I'm not abusing myself anymore. I've worked the steps. I love being of service to others, but something happened. I feel off kilter because I'm not abusing myself anymore. This is a new way of life. And I think what I love so much about this program and recovery and people ahead of me and people behind me is that you know what it's like. You know where I'm at. And the gentle nudge of having a sponsor who someone else had shared this, I just stopped, like I just froze. So I'm just so grateful to start my morning this way. It's a Northern California day. It's beautiful, and it's easy for me to be of service. It's hard for me to talk when I feel off kilter. So I appreciate everyone on the line today, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Crystal S. in Northern California. Next, I have Barbara P., please. Barbara?
Hi, that's, Barbara B., as Barbara B., from Connecticut. I'm very grateful to be able to be here. I put in my alarm every day to come here because I need you guys, and I got so related with all the shares. Wendy, if you, you know, I got very connected with Wendy in terms of what she shared, and another lady said about the, what is good for me, I don't do consistently. It's like a sabotage inside of me that the disease, you know, makes me not enough, or, oh, if you're going to get better, I'm afraid, a lot of fear. And I, outside, I'm so strong. And I, you know, I moved from Brazil to here. I'm by myself. I have no family here. And I thought that was amazing. And I feel so lonely, you know, and I get used to be like that. And the disease got worse in terms, because before I thought that I didn't have, I was denying. Because I knew about OA since I was 20, and I'm 47 now. But I got in a point in my life that I'm like, Barbara, you gotta face your reality and start to do the program and start to reach people, because I don't want to reach. And I was very social when I grew up. I don't know what happened. I got very introvert. And, you know, it's so hard to have tolerance, love. When I see I'm judging, I'm getting my own opinion. And as people say, you want to, people think what you think. And it's so automatic, you know. And I got to ask God, or, you know, whatever you guys think is about the spiritual. It's all about the spiritual, you know. So I've been trying every day to pause and pray. And I'm thankful for everybody. If you, anyone wants to reach out, 203-526-0098. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you, Barbara B. Looks like we have time for two short shares on the shorter side. Who would like to share? Last two.
This is Elaine from New York. I'd like to share.
All right.
Joanne B.
Elaine G.
So we'll finish there. Elaine B. from New York and Joanne. Go ahead, 2 minute shares each, please.
This is Elaine G. from New York.
Elaine G., go ahead, Elaine.
What I got out of this paragraph is yes, you go into OA to change your life, but you also need professional help. I mean, people just can't get from OA. They may have some emotional problems. I mean, it's evidently a lot of us have a heavy emotional problem because we ate over it, you know, ate over our problems, and that, you know, doctors and professional help can also help us, just like in AA. I was also in AA. where I got a psychiatrist, I got a therapist to help my emotional state. And the steps, they help you get through to improve your life. But you also need other help. Beside that, I'm going through a situation right now having to do, I hear people talking about this, having to do with not being tolerant of this and that. My sister's in assisted living, and she's like playing with people's heads, emotions, and first she, you know, she's going to do this, then she's going to do that, then she cancels. They can't even get a therapist for her because she keeps on canceling, and it's very hardening. But, you know, I can't change her. No, I mean, she's doing this to the whole family. And as somebody said, you got to put the focus on yourself. You know, I put her in my guard box yesterday, but I'm still holding on to it. I need to do a 10-step on her, my sister. Keep on doing it. I keep on doing a lot of 10-steps, which help. And then I have to go help someone. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. Next up is Joanne.
Hello, this is Joanne B. from Texas. Thank you for your service and all who are on the line. This tolerance, I'm coming to understand a little more. When I first came in, I basically just thought I need to if put up, if you will, everyone else's beliefs and become like them. And it's really kind of funny, you know, but what I'm realizing is I can still be true to myself and what I understand and believe, but that this tolerance is actually beautiful and liberating in the sense that I get to learn how to treat others with respect, with dignity, kindness, and honor. And it's actually quite fun to get to know them without having thoughts going through my head, but. And that's the main thing that kind of came to my mind. The other thing that came to my mind was, you know, even tolerance, hearing that precious little one crying for mama and wanting to encourage our young mothers because they're in program and they're learning to live well. And what's that going to be for the next generation? That next generation is going to have a head start in learning to live well. And I'm just so grateful when I hear those young ones. And so I just want to encourage our young moms. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. Okay. Let's see if there's anything else. I'd like to thank Team Thursday for August. We have Lily M., Malky W., Mo H., Lorraine N., Eileen M., Reggie O., and Leslie W. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So I will have Lorraine N. please read the passage.
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Yes, Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.